Psalm 68, fairly substantial psalm, to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Lord, arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah, which we get Yahweh or Jehovah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein, O God. Thou hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lion among the pots, yet shall ye be as wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is a God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength, Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till every one submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. Selah seems to be a musical notation. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed. Be God. This today is setting before us the practical generosity of God. God is a very generous God. He's very gracious and most generous. You give him something and he gives you back far more. And his generosity is very practical. He meets you where you are. Something you didn't even know he was aware of that you need. He provides it, even sometimes before you ask. The practical generosity of God is set before us, among other precious truths, in Psalm 68. And this Psalm 68 starts based on Moses' prayer in Numbers 10:35. When the Ark of the Covenant led the people across the desert of Sinai on to the Promised Land, 40 years. This call to God echoes what Moses said when the Ark was lifted up to guide the people. The people would follow the Ark. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. That one prayer would take care of their enemies and would get them safely across a vast tract of desert with many rough people, including hostile Amalekites and others. And it shows us that something that God did in the past that was very powerful, he can do much the same today. Maybe it'd be in a slightly different way, but it'd be equally powerful. We read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think there's a weakness in our faith sometimes when we read the Bible, Old or New Testament, to think that maybe God is not doing things like that today. But why should we think that? God has lost no power with the passing of the ages. We human beings know that we're losing power. I'm my age, I don't have what I did 20 years ago. It's impossible. I got enough to do what God wants me to do, and that's all I need to know. But it's, you know, as you age, you weaken. It's because of the fall of Adam. But God, with the passing of the thousands of years, in no sense weakens at any point, even in the slightest. In verse 2 of Psalm 68, the enemies of God are compared to smoke and wax. Yes, God has his enemies. Church has her enemies. good Christian people in all countries, America, Britain, France, Germany, and the rest, have their enemies. But the Bible compares them to smoke and wax. A little puff of wind will blow off the smoke. A little bit of fire will melt the wax so that it's not there. And we need to remember that, because we tend to think in our own generation, when evil is so widespread and so acceptable, when so much of the government and the media supports evil and interprets it for the best, it's nothing. They're nothing when God gets on the move. Now that takes faith. You know, Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And what I'm preaching this morning is going to take faith. Because we feel the evil that's around us. We feel the wickedness of a fallen culture. Basically, if you come down to it, hates God and hates right and despises a true church and resents the preaching of the gospel. But they're nothing when God is on the move. One thing we must never do is let the evils of our time eclipse God from the eyes of faith. We must renew our faith in God. We must look to Him in faith. And no matter how difficult the circumstances that God has chosen us to live in, God is as great, as sovereign, as wonderful, as mighty as ever He was. And we must keep that in mind. There's a hymn, "This is My Father's World." I could have chosen it this morning, but it has a line, "Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler yet." Who's the ruler? Not the wicked cabal behind many a government. Not the wicked powers in charge of apparently much of the media. God is above them all. God can easily, in His way and in His time, handle them all. You know the hymn, "Oh, where are kings and empires now? Of old that went and came. Lord, still Thy church is praying yet, 1,000 years the same." The only way to handle it when things are difficult in our generation, we see the powerful forces out there that hate God and hate right and hate the truth. What do? You don't get depressed. You don't give up. You don't say they're too strong for us. No, you keep in mind how God's enemies flee when He moves. The Bible's full of it. History is full of it. The devil wishes you to contrast your limited power with the evils around you, so He can get you down. But God reminds you in His word, as in this Psalm 68 that I'm preaching on today. Seems right kind of text to begin a year with. That as God has intervened in the past, like on Mount Sinai and on Mount Calvary, God can easily do so today as He sees fit. We don't tell Him how to do it. Just ask Him to move, and He will move. In verse 4, the psalmist remembers that God's saving power is seen in the justice, the righteousness of the way in which He directs the nations. They think they're in charge of everything. They think their parliaments, their congresses, their secret powers that control those powers and congresses, perhaps, are really in charge. The big banks and the big firms feel that they probably are in charge. The media's in charge. They think that. God lets them think it for a long time because God takes his time in dealing with evil. He teaches us in the Lord's Prayer to pray every day, deliver us from evil. And the prayers of millions of believers across the world, definitely they make a difference in God delivering his church, his individual Christians, from evil. God, in many ways, to a large degree, unraveled Russia in its atheistic phase. China is still strong. We don't know what's happening. Once God moves, so many Chinese are now becoming Christians. Some say there's over 100 million in the house church in China. I don't know about that. It might be. If that be true, China's got to change. God's on the throne. And of course, America, which tends to be a proud country because we've been the richest. We need to be very humble, or else our time will soon come. Oh, where are kings and empires now of old that went and came? Lord, still thy church is praying yet 1,000 years the same. A hymn, I'm told, was very popular in World War II. I was born during World War II, so I obviously didn't know what they were singing. Was this: have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 4 speaks of God riding upon the heavens. It's a poetic, metaphorical expression. The heavens, the place from which he exercises total control on everything below him. And then verse 5 speaks of how the mighty one cares for lowly widows and orphans. The truly great ones care for the weak, whereas those who pretend to be great overlook the weak. That's the difference. Verse 5 mentions universal praise. Praise from every direction you can turn. Because God is in control of the whole thing. Even when it doesn't feel like it, he is in charge. The church knows a wonderful secret as far as she believes the Bible. God really is always completely in charge. What wonderful news. Isn't that a great way to start this new year? Our God is in charge of it all. As Calvin says, not one puff of wind can blow a leaf. Not one drop of rain can fall outside the will of God. God is in charge of absolutely everything. A hymn I like, often sung in Wales, says, throughout the universe of bliss, the center thou and sun. The eternal theme of praise is this: to heaven's beloved one, Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow. Well, we certainly face many challenges and enemies. You know, even something like COVID-19, many a Christmas gathering was canceled, or either members of your family were not able to come because of this plague. Yet we remember that anything that comes to us has first to go through the hands of God. And those are very, very strong hands. And you think of the terrorism abroad in most countries, including this one. But without denying the seriousness of terrorism, we recall that our God is infinitely stronger than the worst evil the devil can ever unleash. One opportunity you have this year, as always, is that the general public that you rub shoulders with, see here and there from time to time, could see that you have a calm and settled faith that your God is in charge and that he does all things well. That's why I had to start out by singing, "It is well. It is well with my soul." What a blessing in the community when you have Christian people who are convinced it is well with my soul because our God is in charge and will not let one thing happen outside his will. When your eyes are on the Lord, you become a blessing to people that you had no idea were ever watching. That's possibly where your chief testimony is. You didn't know they were watching, but they were. And you had something on the inside that came from upstairs that's different from what they have, and it may well allure their interest. Verses 7 to 18 of this psalm describes how God got his people through the wilderness to Canaan. It was a long way. It was a very dry, difficult, dangerous wilderness, desert. And it seems to be drawing upon the song of Deborah in Judges 5 when God chose a woman to lead the otherwise frightened troops of Israel. And she did it successfully because God was with her. In verse 14 of Psalm 68, it appears that God sent a snowstorm to rout the enemy forces at Zalmon near Shechem. God can even send a snowstorm. God can send tremendous rain. God can send a hurricane. God can send an earthquake. He often does. To bless his people. On the march into Canaan through that terrible wilderness, the angels of God accompanied his people, though they did not mostly see them. You have angelic accompaniment, but God doesn't generally let you see them. You don't need to see them. They're at work. Jesus said he could have called 12 legions of angels, but he chose not to, so he could die in our place and take our weakness and swallow it up in his strength. Deuteronomy 33 verse 2 says, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. God can use snowstorms. God can use holy angels. God can use earthquakes. All kind of things. God can use to help his people along their way, even when it doesn't feel like it to them. When they finally reached Zion, it was a victory procession. We have in Rome the few places, arches, triumphal arches, which in which there are carvings from 2,000 years back of triumphal processions going behind the successful Roman general. One of those arches actually shows Jewish people being led. And every triumphal procession, ultimately God brought it about. St. Paul quotes verse 18 of Psalm 68. He picks it up in Ephesians 4:8, where God gave gifts to men. God is a generous God, and he gives gifts to people. The old church fathers used to speak of the Holy Spirit as the gift, in Latin, donum. He is the gift. Holy Spirit's presence includes every other blessing we could possibly need or desire. The picture here is that when Christ ascended, he was very active in sending down the specific gifts that his people have needed, and he still does it. If you're a Christian here this morning, I believe most of you are, God sent down the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to see him and to appropriate him as your Savior. God is still sending down gifts to his people. Verse 20 gives us great encouragement, for it speaks of our God as a God of deliverances or a God of escapes. The word is plural, escapes or deliverances. And John Calvin comments that God has many, many ways of delivering us from trouble. Verse 23 uses language that might be something that modern sensibilities don't like. It speaks of the dogs licking the blood of the enemies of God. One could think here of how wicked Queen Jezebel was thrown out of a window and the dogs licked her blood. She'd been forewarned. Time came when she had to bear her judgment. Don't ever think because God is letting the wicked get by with it now, they'll always get by with it. Oh, no, they won't. The time will come for their judgment. It'll be at least as bad as what Queen Jezebel experienced. That's one thing that keeps me very sobered about our own country. I don't want to get off on the point very much this morning, but the abortion, killing of innocent babies, has got to be abhorrent in the eyes of God. And he cannot let it go on but so long till he intervenes and judges a very privileged, rich, proud country for persisting in this terrible evil. God will deal with it. The last half of the psalm sets forth how God deals with evil. And when he deals with evil, weakening the forces of evil, at the same time, God communicates power and strength to his own people. The same verse 20 shows that we need not fear even the last enemy that should be destroyed is death. We're not to be afraid of that, because verse 20 says, unto the God of our salvation belong the issues from death. I had a cousin by marriage who was a Presbyterian minister, and I heard him say not long before he died, he didn't know he had brain cancer at that time, but he did, and it worked fast, that God determined the year of his birth, the day of his birth, he had nothing to do with it, and God would determine the year of his death, and that would be fine with him. Unto the Lord our God belong the issues from death. That's all you need to know about your death. You're in the hands of God. He determines it, and it will be right. It'll be at the right time. It won't be at the wrong time. Be just right. That's why we can say with St. Paul these wonderful words from Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Think about your body. Lord, be magnified in my body. Think about your living. Lord, be magnified in my life. Think about your dying. Lord, be magnified even in my dying, that it may glorify you and be a blessing to many. To die is gain. I preached that at the funeral of one of my aunts recently. To die is gain for the Christian. How could to die be gain? You lose everything. You lose your property, your lands, your stocks, your bonds, etc., your family. No, but from God's eyes, to die is gain. Instead of ultimately losing, we gain when we pass through the portals of death and go to a place where there's streets of gold, a rainbow circle throne. Save loved ones, holy angels, and beloved saints awaiting us. Talk about gain. That's gain. What you leave down here is nothing compared to it. You know that a split second after death if you're a believer. No wonder verse 11 speaks of what a blessing it is to publish the word. Publish the word. I remember many years ago, Mrs. Mary Arthur Atkins of Dillon giving me this verse as a prayer promise, and I kept it in my wallet till it wore out. Great was the company of them that published it. And it was a blessing. It still is a blessing. Although it's worn out physically, it's in my mind. One glad day we shall see the King in his beauty and rejoice in the glories of heaven. I can't describe it. I hadn't seen them yet. They pass my limited power of description. Yet even now in this fallen world, God is giving us many a gift. Even now he's giving you gifts. As verse 19 says, and get this verse, verse 19, underline it if you want to. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits even the God of our salvation. It's not just when you get to heaven. Yes, when you get to heaven, more so. But even now, he's loading you with benefits. Sometime I would like to preach on the benefits God gives us here below. I'm not going to do it today. You don't want to stay that long. Assurance of salvation, power of the Holy Spirit, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as Calvin says, many escapes and many deliverances. God does not parcel out you in stingy fashion, just a few little blessings. He loads you down with them. It's hard to get them into your house. There's so many. I remember an elderly godly couple down in Lexington, Mississippi, where I served Presbyterian Church one summer, visiting in their home. Grand old Christian couple. He was a retired lawyer, and she a godly woman. And they used to say regularly in their prayers, because we'd pray together before I left, Lord, we are bowed down with these blessings. And we thank you for them. And that stuck in my mind. We're bowed down with these benefits. We feel weak. That's a legitimate feeling. But God keeps sending us strength, as we're told in verses 28 and 34 and 35, which I won't repeat. Thus all the kingdoms of the earth should sing praises to God. Verse 32. God does not leave us weakened orphans, but strong children of the King, as we look to him in verse 33. I remember Smitty Smith, who preached here for a number of years, telling about he was in a particular orphanage somewhere in South Carolina, I forgot where, and they would line up the orphans on Sunday, and families would come to that orphanage and overlook the children, and they could choose a child, and they'd naturally pick out the most attractive child. And Smitty said he stood there all those years and nobody picked him out. But God picks you out. God did pick you out. You're his. He who rides upon the heavens of heavens, that's the place of top authority in verse 33, alone is in a position to give what he thinks best, no matter how challenged may be the economy in which you're living. I would suggest that all of us, we bring our weaknesses to God. Think about that. Bring your weakness to God. And let him exchange it for his strength. Old Samuel Rutherford, Scottish saint, used to say, bring your empty vessels into the presence of God and let him fill them. If you're empty, it's fine. Bring it to God. Let him fill it. Verse 29 mentions presents being brought to the temple of Jerusalem. Temple represents the church. And God will continue to provide all his church needs so that the church can publish glad tidings to the ends of the earth. The church would not have survived even one generation, given the maliciousness of the enemy, unless God had kept loading the church with his benefits. That's why the church is growing in China. God is daily loading the Chinese Christians with benefits. I don't know what they are, but God knows, and he's doing it. you can tell people around you how God has blessed you. You don't have to brag, you wouldn't. Very humbly say, God has dealt with me a lot better than I ever deserved or ever imagined, and here's what he's like, and invite them to come to church with you. You could do that. That doesn't take much courage. I close with lines from an old hymn. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Publish those tidings. The devil says God is out to get you. His word tells you something on the contrary, that he wishes to keep loading you with benefits. This year it's not going to be the devil's be allowed to take over, or the God's against you. God would wish to keep loading you with benefits this year in which you're living. Bring him all your empty vessels, as Rutherford said, and let him fill them, and he will gladly do so. Amen.